powered by Ernie Ball, the colors of rock and roll.
I'm pumped and thrilled to welcome Mr. Corey Taylor as the very first international guest at Guitar Magazine's podcast and Magazine. So we do both at the same time. So this will be for the magazine and we'll try to make a podcast out of it.
Okay.
So it may be rare that people don't know who you are, but for the rare and the small amount of people that do not know who you are, you're lead singer of Stone Sour, lead singer of Slipknot, and you're a book author. You're a horror movie fan, and that's only just part of the shit that you have going on.
Yeah, the iceberg, yeah.
yeah. But today, you brought your first ever solo album to the table, and I'm pumped, man. It's a great album.
Thank you.
What can I say? And let's dive right into it and make it count, all the amount of time that we have.
Right.
It's a whole lot of different colors that you bring and flavors that you bring to the table with these songs. There's like punk rockish stuff, there's like heavy metal stuff, hard rock, classic rock stuff going on. You even got like some cool hip-hop shit going on.
Right.
Where does this all come from? Where's all the creativity streaming from?
It's all from my love for music, you know. I mean, it's pretty well documented that I love all different kinds of music and I love all different genres, you know. I don't like to cut myself off from different types of music, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And to me, every genre has something that you can dig if you really are into it, you know. So I've been a fan of everything, all kinds of music since I was very little, you know. That's kind of what this is a celebration of that, of those influences and the bands, the styles, the music that's kept me happy and alive for, you know, 46 years. And it kept me a fan of popular music for 30 of them or, you know, 40 of them, whatever you want to call it. So to me, obviously making a solo album, there's that danger that it will just be a watered down version of the things that you've done before, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, that's not why I wanted to do this, you know. To me, it made more sense to, it was like, if I was going to do a solo album, I was going to do something that came from the heart. And these are songs that I've had, that I've written for the better part of 20 years, you know, that have just sat by the wayside and have just been waiting for an opportunity to put out there. And this was the perfect chance to do it.
That sounds very, very good and sounds very plausible. This is for Guitar Magazine, so we have to dive into the six string section pretty quick right now.
Yeah.
People have been aware of you being a solo artist as well when you were touring, like you did your acoustic stuff, acoustic shows. People know you with an acoustic guitar. What would you say, how important was the guitar for you for writing these songs?
Oh, very, you know. Everything I write starts out just me sitting down and playing it on an acoustic. Even all the heavy stuff that I've written over the years, it starts out as me just sitting down and just basically dicking around on the couch, you know, like in my drawers or whatever. And that's the spirit of how I write, you know. I've never known any other way to write. And that I think in turn has made everything I write very guitar driven. Even though I'm no virtuoso, but at the same time, I mean, I have a certain style that I like to write with, and these songs are no exception. So a lot of these songs started out as just acoustic things that I'd love to jam with, you know, even stuff like Culturehead, which just kind of came from just dropping the D and
I was just going to say, pretty heavy riff hitter. Yeah.
But it started out as me playing it on acoustic. And I always felt like there's a great thing about being able to play something on acoustic. If it feels good there from a rock standpoint, then when you transpose it and really crank the volume on it, you get a certain type of aggressive rock sound to it, you know? So that's where I like to start it. Like if it feels good on an acoustic, I know it's going to feel good for the most part on electric.
Yeah. And you can hear it actually, the opener song, Highway 666 or HWY 666.
No, you're right. Highway 666.
I think that was a short thing. I think the listener literally can hear the acoustics starting the song and then it's building up from there and
right,
getting bigger
right.
with, you know, all the arrangement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's stay with the guitar and stay with the core of the acoustic guitar a little bit for a while. Writing songs on acoustic guitar, what is your go-to instrument? Brand-wise.
I'm lucky enough to have a few really cool, because I used to be a Gibson artist. Mm-hmm. So I have a handful of acoustics that they've sent me over the years. I got a bunch of Hummingbird Pros. I have a J45 that's really cool, but I tell you that the guitar that I tend to write on the most is my J35, which I call the Blonde, and
okay,
it actually sounds fucking amazing, dude. It's ironic that I'm one of those people that loves to try and find vintage guitars and whatnot, just because I love the sound. I used to have a 78 Gibson Blue Ridge that was really sang and really sounded really cool. It was unfortunately stolen from me. So I've been constantly trying to find another acoustic to kind of replace that vintage vibe. And yet I constantly go back to the Blonde, which is only about 8 years old, you know? So it's a really cool guitar. It's not too bright and it's not too dense.
Yeah.
Some Gibson acoustics can kind of be on one end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. It kind of has that perfect blend of brittle and thickness, you know, especially when you're playing. So I can really write any type of vibe, and depending on my attack, really get that kind of vibe and really kind of hear what it's going to sound like when I jack it in and play it, whether it's on a Novo or whatever.
Okay. Makes perfect sense. So, having the songs written on acoustic guitar and then going into the studio, it's obvious that you have a whole band in there, you know,
and
the next question would be, what role who backed you up with the electric guitar and the solos?
Oh, dude. a lot of people will recognize Christian Martucci. You know, obviously he played with me in Stone Sour. He's played with a bunch of different bands over the years. Black Star Riders. He's played with Black President. He actually started out with
Didi Ramone. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which was killer, you know? So he's got the pedigree and he's probably one of the best guitar players I've ever had the pleasure.
It's so delicate and his solo playing is so musical, you know?
So very musical, and he has such a great ear for solo hooks.
Totally.
That it's ridiculous.
Totally.
And then the other guitar player is Zach Throne,
okay,
who has played with a litany of other people. Recently he's played with Pearl A Day and her solo project. And also with everybody from Bruce Kulick to even Mike Reno, you know, he's played with a lot of different people. He's one of the tastiest guitar players I've ever seen. He can play anything you throw at him. And their two styles really were so gratifying that I knew that they would be able to play together. And I knew that they would be able to add those elements that I was looking for in the songs themselves.
Right.
Because they come from like two different kind of ends of the spectrum. And I was right. And they had never played together in a band before or in a project. And when they got together and they started working on the guitar stuff, it was like watching Step Brothers, you know, when John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell are like, did we just become best friends? Like it was that ridiculous and so much, and so gratifying and so awesome to watch them really bond guitar wise. And then watching them work out the really cool harmonized solo stuff, man, was so dope. And it really added this whole element to the music that I never would have imagined, you know, and yet it's perfect for what needed to happen.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah. Did you work out the songs with them in the studio? Did you work around a little bit? Did you have like some space left creativity wise?
No, there was with them. Yeah, there was definitely headroom to add, and I wanted them to add their own little personal things without taking away from what the spirit was, you know. So when I sent them the demos, because I would basically go in and just kind of demo everything, either by myself or with Zach playing rhythm.
Sure.
It you know, I made sure that I was like, look, it's like these are the things that are set for me. But over the top of that, feel free. Let's see. And if I don't like something, I'll tell you, you know.
Okay.
Luckily, man, we were really fortunate. It was a lot of kismet going on musically, man. Everything really just kind of fit together, and it just made the songs really come alive, man.
I think one can hear that. Like they have so much energy and I think a lot of positive powers in the songs.
Absolutely. And it could be just because of the keys that they were written in, but at the same time, there's so much energy in just the way we recorded it. I mean, because we all recorded live in the room together.
That would have been my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 99% of this album is live. It's all the result of playing the songs probably 3 or 4 times at the moment. Best. We were so consistent. We were able to really kind of let's say if we went with the fourth take, but you know my take was better from the third pass, we could just fly that in, and really it just sat just like this. I mean, it was perfect. So we really were able to take advantage of the fact that we were all really good at what we do. And that gave it that energy. It gave it that sizzle and that excitement. And it just brought the whole thing to life, man.
Oh, that sounds cool. So that sounds like a pretty short time period of time when you were actually recording this whole album. Seems like the album was like...
We did 25 songs in 2.5 weeks.
You got to be shitting me.
No, seriously, man.
Wow.
We did all 13 originals. Then we recorded 6 covers. And then we did 6 acoustic versions of the 13 originals that we recorded for the album.
So when
and we
these,
did
all these...
in 2.5 weeks.
Okay. And when are the other songs showing up, like in the future sometime somewhere?
Yeah, probably in the future. Yeah. I mean, we wanted to make sure that we had enough like cool B-side material to be able to kind of share with the world and do something cool, like down the line. But yeah, it was pretty perfect. And like I said, man, I mean, it came together so quick that we turned around and we were like, well, shit, man. Like we don't want to be done. You know, we were having so much fun and it was such a great experience that we didn't want it to end. It was just that fucking good.
But it's capturing these very special moments pretty good. The end result.
Right.
Are you a guitar nerd?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I'm not a gearhead or anything like that. But over the years, the more proficient I've gotten at playing guitar, the more I realize is that I tend to gravitate towards a certain style of guitar. Mm-hmm. And actually, in the last, call it 3 or 4 years, I've really started kind of playing, I don't want to call them boutique guitars, but they're definitely guitars that you have to kind of know guitars to be able to know. Like Novo, I'm a huge Novo fan.
Okay,
I have a couple of Cirrus J's that I absolutely love and that I used on this album. I've got a couple of Nash guitars that are really really good. They have a little more meat than the Fender counterparts that they really are kind of modeled after.
Okay.
And then I've got, you know, just a handful of guitars that I've collected over the years. Like I have a 95 95 Mexican Strat that I used on Black Eyes Blue. It was just a perfect guitar for that. I have a couple of Gibsons that I'm really, really fond of. An Explorer. I have a 78 SG that really just sizzles.
With P90s or humbucker pickups?
Yeah. They have P90s in them.
I was just going to say, the P90s in it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. But, you know, but it's about, it's I guess I kind of started paying attention to what songs really kind of lend themselves with what sound, and then realizing that, you know, some of the other stuff that I have, you know, the warmer humbuckers really blend well with the P90s. And we just kind of went from there. Like, I don't have a lot of pedals. I don't have a lot. I don't overdrive or anything like that. I leave that to Zach and Tooch because they're really fucking good at it. I provide the meat and potatoes, which is what I start with when I'm writing the song. You know, for me, I write the meat and then.
You mean the riffs or the song?
The riffs and the song.
Yeah. Okay.
I write all that stuff. I wrote everything on this album except for Everybody Dies on My Birthday. And that was a song that Tooch wrote musically, and then I arranged it and then wrote the lyrics to it. So that was the only real collaborative one, but everything else I wrote the meat, the riffs and the lyrics for, and then we just improved on top of them.
Okay. Can you be a little bit more specific when it comes to amp sounds, because that might be, you know, for Guitar Magazine, quite important.
I used on this album, just for my stuff, I used a combination of just we just basically used Marshalls, really. I think maybe we used a 5150 on a couple of things, but for the most part, I used a JCM 800, and then I have a 88 Silver Jubilee that I used on a handful of stuff. A little more overdriven, but it just had that great, it lent itself to that kind of 80s sound, you know? Because like, that was like the big, that was the amp that you had to have, like, you know, so... I've got a couple of those that I like to use, but when it came to like the really kind of going for like the grittier, the warmer grit, I went with an 800.
That would be like, for example, which song? Do you remember that?
Highway 666 was definitely one that I used on that. Halfway Down, I used the 800. I used the Silver Jubilee on Samantha's Gone. I think I used the 800 on Black Eyes Blue. So it's like, I really tried to find a balance between the two. And then I used the Silver Jubilee on like the heavier stuff. I used the Silver Jubilee and my 78 SG on, Culture Head when I tracked that. And it really gave it that fucking beat.
Yeah.
That really felt good, you know?
Yeah. One can really hear the chunk of the P90.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a special really sound, like a chunky sound.
And it
blends
so well with everything else that was going on guitar wise. Like the SG kind of fit right in the middle between. I think Tooch used his custom Dean on that, and then Zach used either his Gibson V or his Fender. I can't remember either one, but they really, it was almost like a golf game. We were constantly trying to find the right club for the right, you know, hole or whatever. With this, we were constantly trying to find the right combination of guitars that would fit the best. Like Highway 666 took a second because I originally started out with the Silver Jubilee and I realized it was too crunchy. So went to the JCM 800 and then ended up switching guitars on that as well, because I want to say I was using, God, what was I using? I think I was using the Nash on that, the Tele, and I ended up going for a thicker sound with the Novo, the Series G.
Okay. What kind of pickups do you use in the Novo? I was curious about that.
Well, the Sirius, I think, have P90s in them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just got the sign that we have 5 minutes left. Maybe it's just 4 minutes right. left. There were like two songs that I was curious about, and they actually do not have much to do with, you know, there's not much guitars going on within these songs. That would be Home. Great ballad on the piano.
Thank you.
Awesome song. And yeah, CMFT must be stopped, which stands for Corey motherfucking Taylor.
That's right. Absolutely.
I just wanted to have said that once.
Right.
So that features actually some hip hop artists. Could you just tell the guitar players what kind of artists you have as guests on that song?
Two good friends of mine, one of which is Kid Bookie from London.
Okay.
Kid I met online and just loved his work. And then I ended up guesting on a remake of one of his songs, Stuck in My Ways. And then, you know, in turn, I had him kind of jam on this. And then another good friend of mine, Tech Nine, from the Midwest, actually, from Kansas City, is a guy who has, what can I say about him? And anybody who knows Tech Nine knows exactly, like, he's one of the best in the game. He's incredible.
So how did they like your guitar sounds?
They were all about it, man. Like, you know, okay. I told them I was really trying to kind of go for an old school kind of like mid 80s Rick Rubin kind of vibe, you know, like cool. That Run DMC King of Rock vibe, you know, like really trying to capture the early days, man, you know, that excitement that came from it. I didn't want it to feel like a nu metal song. I wanted it to feel like a rock song that had hip hop elements to it. Kind of like Bring the Noise with Anthrax, you know, you get that really great guitar sound, and yet there's a great hip hop vibe to it, and it doesn't sound nu metal. It sounds fresh, you know? And that's what I was trying to go for. And, you know, really feel like we captured the spirit of it.
I think you guys achieved that pretty well.
Thank you.
What can I say? Do we have a minute left, or are we over the time right now?
Yeah, I think we got about a minute left. Yeah.
All right. Did you play on the piano, the song Home?
Yeah. I
knew it.
The thing about Home is I wrote that song for my wife on guitar, but then realized that it would feel much more intimate on piano. So I spent 2.5 years teaching myself how to play piano. I knew I wasn't going to be a virtuoso or anything, but I wanted to learn where the keys were, where the notes were, where the chords were. And I basically learned where everything was a half step down, so I could be able to play with everything that I write, because I write everything in E flat.
Yeah.
So I learned everything, you know, the good kind of combination between the black and the white keys, you know? and I just kind of practiced until I was confident enough to be able to, my whole thing was I wanted to be confident enough and fluid enough to be able to record that song on my own and really have it feel like it was me and it coming from me. And the greatest compliment I've had on this album is people have said, it's like, I had no idea that was you playing piano. And I was like,
I knew it.
Yeah. Nice.
No, it sounds great. It sounds very intimate. It's real. It's life. And Corey, thank you very much for doing this interview.
No worries,
it's a great
man.
Record. I got to push this button. Dear guitar podcast listeners and magazine buyers, that was Corey Taylor, Corey motherfucking Taylor, on his new album, the first solo. Corey, thank you so much. Hope to see you guys soon.
That's the plan, man.
On the horizon.
As soon as everything gets back to normal, we're bringing this over and we're going to tour.
Up until then, stay safe and stay healthy.
You too. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Later.
Powered by Ernie Ball, the colors of rock and roll.